William Shawcross has spent much of his career writing about the intersection of personality and foreign policy. His new book is an account of the final year and a half in the life of the Shah of Iran, the collapse of his rule, and his subsequent status as a political pariah. Book critic John Leonard has this review.
A funny thing happens to the Shah of Iran on his way to death and exile, unwanted by anyone but Panama, Egypt, and his sister. William Shawcross decides to like him. Shawcross is an English journalist whose best book, Sideshow, was a savage attack on the Cambodian policies of Richard Nixon and Henry Kissinger. Somehow, Shawcross finds in the Shah's bewilderment a tragic dimension, in his stoicism a kind of poetry. Shakespeare is quoted, Richard II, "Farewell, king, cover your heads and mock not flesh and blood with solemn reverence. Throw away respect, tradition, form, and ceremonious duty." This odd sympathy makes for what psychologists call a cognitive dissonance. We're told two contradictory things in the same space. We're told, on the one hand, everything Shawcross knows about the Shah's wretched kingship. He was installed on his throne in the first place by our CIA in 1953. He squandered Iran's vast oil resources, with the permission and encouragement of Kissinger, on the purchase of fancy military hardware, the corruptions of a court of toadies, the barbarism of his Savak secret police, and his own delusions of Darius, of 2,500 years of Persian imperial grandeur. On the other hand, we're also told we should feel sorry for him, because he got so much bad advice from his doctors, because the hotel keepers of his exile gouged him, because entire nations, from Switzerland to Maggie Thatcher, that had enjoyed his patronage and begged his pardon while he had power, shut their doors to him in his disgrace, and because he hadn't a clue of what he'd done wrong. It's possible to defend the principle of asylum even for deposed dictators without forgiving the Shah his many indecencies. After all, if there's no place for them to go, they're likely to stay put for a bloodbath. It's also possible to argue instead the hard cheese of national self-interest. We knew in advance, for instance, that there'd be trouble for our embassy if we admitted the Shah to these shores. At Kissinger's insistence, we did so anyway. The hostages were seized, and Kissinger went on the road to campaign for Ronald Reagan and against Jimmy Carter's handling of a crisis Kissinger himself had helped precipitate. Shawcross argues neither of these propositions. He's harder on Kissinger than he is on the Shah, who ends up sounding here less like Richard II than Oedipus at Colonus. This absurdity requires forgetting most of what we know of the Savak secret police, and connives as well at a kind of historical amnesia. Khomeini is so awful, the Shah must not have been as bad as we thought he was. And yet Shawcross is such a good reporter that the bad Shah shows up to confound him in his own book, dim, paranoid, grandiose, the peacock as bloody jack-in-the-box. Both because of and in spite of Shawcross, I found myself agreeing with Panama's then-president Torrijos, who thought the thing to do for a Shah with any manly style was, quote, to take a helicopter or a beautiful white horse and ride into Persia and fall like a king on his sword.
John Leonard writes about television for New York Magazine, and as a columnist for New York Newsday, he reviewed The Shah's Last Ride by William Shawcross.